training and perfect dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Well, I'm not going to talk long, so I think I'll leave my mask on, and we'll see. This is a really good mic, so probably be fine. So today, we're going to have the first annual memorial service to remember my teacher and the formal founder of these temples, this temple, Sojin Mel Weitzman Roshi. The one I think of is Mel. People say things about him like he was so ordinary, or he was just there or here, so present, which are both true. And he was hard on me, and I'm very grateful for that. And I choose to be pleased. I choose to think, and I think I'm right anyway, that he was tough on me because he respected me and he wanted to train me. For a tiny example, when you at the Berkeley Zen Center, when you cook the meal, when you're responsible for the meal, then you go and before people eat, you go into the zendo and you do three bows, and then you join the assembly and eat with everybody. Well, he told me that he expected me to be in full robes with my okesa, my full priest robe, on when I went in to do the bows, which is a pain. You know, when you've been cooking and you've been in civilian clothes and you just got everything served up, and then you have to go change into your robes and do the whole thing, and yet that kind of rigorous practice was Dogen's way, and respecting the robe, respecting, expressing the vow that becoming a priest represents is deeply important to me, and that was an expression of it. And come to find out, he didn't tell other people that. Then I noticed that there were other priests that would come in with the hapari, one of those priests, the little jacket that crosses over and so on, and their roksu, their small version of a robe. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, and he didn't tell the people that. And I think part of it was that I came out of Tassajara. That Tassajara, that whoever cooks does not eat with everybody, so that doesn't arise. But I'm grateful for that. And another time, and this had nothing to do with me personally, I don't think, but I was in charge of, at Berkeley Zen Center, there's a little hut that he uses for a dosan, and for like a practice interview discussion or whatever. And I was in charge of it, and keeping it clean and dusted and making sure there was, back in those days, incense and whatever. And it was a work period of a sashin, I guess. It was a longer time So I was doing a deeper cleaning and I had taken all the stuff out of there, the cushions, and he kept his big staff and other things in there. And I had put them in his office, which was nearby. And he was in there during that work period. And so I was getting things to put back in. And I just grabbed a couple things. And I started walking out and he said, "Handle that with the respect that it's due." And I, so I put down half of what I was carrying and carried what I had with two hands rather than, three things in each hand. And that's always stayed with me. When I say to you sometimes, use two hands, that's where that comes from. That and Suzuki Tsuroshi's wife, who used to say that to people all the time. The rigor of his practice wasn't always apparent. But it's apparent to me, and I'm grateful for it. And I said something in the newsletter at the end about how he was cranky, but he was also really patient and various things that he was being. And I think I said I try to measure up. So I do. So today going to do a ceremony that's similar to what Berkeley does for him. They did it yesterday, but it's modeled after what they do for the annual memorial to Suzuki Roshi. And in that ceremony, they chant the merging of difference and unity, and then there's this big. In the evening, and it's usually during the sesshin in December. I mean, the one for Suzuki Roshi, because he died on the morning of the 4th of December. Anyway, so then there's this big, long, kind of oval centering on the altar, and then each person goes up and to the altar and offers whatever, and does a little bow, and then says something to or about Suzuki Roshi and what he means in it today. I want to encourage everybody to say something, but you don't have to. If you don't feel any relationship at all, I don't know what you, but at any rate, if you're not willing to say something, or it doesn't work for you to say something, for them it's not willing for you to say something, then just bow. Just bow. And I will call the names of the people on the screen, because as you know, the order on the screen varies from one screen to the next. So I need to move because people hear me to make an offering, and I also don't want to be in the way of, so why don't I just go back over. Oh, I gave you permission to cross in front of the altar. Sure. Just bow with that. When you cross in front of the altar, just bow with it. And then get out of the way. Just
set back so that you guys can go up and then you can off. Using Bailey's, so you just take these.
And this feet to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, talk to him, right there. He's right here.
So people, you have to.
Why not? That's a really good one.
Okay, you're right.
Listen, I was, shall we change the Santa Claus? I was with the lawyers and Mike was in the bedrooms in the library. And I was getting something from in the community room. And I was singing very softly to myself as I walked afterwards. And I got in there and I said, thanks for singing to us. No idea. So we're going to informally, we're going to chant the merging of difference and unity, which we chant every Wednesday. So you should have it. We love this. And apparently, we chant that this is the old version, this is more poetic. So I'm going to announce it, but we'll just chant it. No, no. Well, I can tell. In the middle, yes. But do a little clunk and a bell for the title. A clunk to start it out. You always clunk before you go to the scenes. Merging of difference and unity. Mind of the great and west, equal specialties. You know that in the path there are no southern or northern ancestors, the spiritual source shines through the light, branching streams flow in the darkness, grasping things is basically delusion, merging the principles. Is how our enlightenment each steps in every field interact and do not interact when interacting with all smokers. Otherwise, they remain in their own states. Forms are basically different in material and appearance. Sounds are fundamentally different. As their large quality, refined and common speech come together in the dark, clear, and nebulous places. Just visualize the foregrown elements which are into their own matrix like a baby taking to its mother's fire beats. Water wax, their eyes solid, eyes sight, ear, and smell, nose of smell, tongue, and taste, dress, and all things of these tribes. Trunk and branches share the essence, noble and base, their only matters of speaking bright and light. There is darkness, but don't confide to this darkness, bright and darkness, there is dark. Don't see it as light, light, and dark are relative to one another, like the foot before and the foot behind it, walking all things have their function. That are in use in the appropriate situations, phenomena exist, blood box and cover, joining principle of course, like seeing, hearing the words, you should understand the source, don't make up standards on your own if you don't understand the path of your eyes. How can you know the way as you walk? Progress is not a matter of far or near, but if you are confused, scriptures block the way. I humbly say to those who study the mystery, don't waste time. We dedicate the merit of this chanting to all of us. Okay, so let's mix it up. So we'll start with Daniel and then go to Liam and Marilyn. Make sure you're unmuted.
So, Jen? I offer this special jade rock that I once found to you. I never met you personally, but yet I met you through your teachings imparted to my teacher, for which I am forever grateful. And so thank you. Three bows.
No, you don't have, just a standing bow, or, you know, a bow at the beginning and the end.
So, Jen, so grateful that you share your teaching and the teaching of your teacher. I'm grateful that I got to be around you a little bit and have a sense of you and know your voice and your manner. Thank you.
Sojin, I'm grateful for the teaching that you gave to Mary, and I'm grateful that it is passed to us through Mary.
Now, I have, Steve sent some words that he wanted me to read. Sojourn Mel Weitzman, you once said to me that every breath is the universe. It's taken a while for me to open up to the meaning of those words, and I'm sure there's a lot more opening to do. One thing I can say is that you really did teach by just being yourself, modeling being present and quite ordinary, that there's nothing but this moment, this breath. And so I remember you and your teaching today in this breath, in this universe, with deep bows of gratitude. And I wanted to say that the memorial plaque is called an Ihai. That's right beside Sojourn's picture on the altar. Liam made the stand for us. Hoitsu Suzuki Roshi did the calligraphy, which is Sojourn's name, and I think it's I have a translation which I didn't bring with me. I think it says something about like Sojourn Roshi and then his name. I mean, just basically his name, and that the picture lives in the library. The Ihai will stay on the altar. So Dana? Come here, do a bow, approach the altar. That's fine. You can stay up there to talk to him.
Mel, I never met you except through Mary's teaching, and for that I'm grateful. The Dharma just seems to bloom in my heart like a flower, and so I feel like it's come from you and from the Dharma that you have passed on, and for that I'm grateful.
Shane, do you want to, I don't care, please.
Sojourn, I did not know you personally, but as others have said, through Mary and her teaching, I appreciated your commitment to our Sangha and your teaching there, here. It's kind of weird to say on Zoom. I especially appreciated your words on birth and death, not life and death, you made a point to say, but birth and death as two sides of the coin, was very helpful to my practice.
So, Jen, I watched the ceremony where you stepped down from Berkeley Zen Center, and found it very profound. And I will never forget that you opened the ceremony by cleaning your slate again and pledging to continue to try to do better. And it meant a lot to me, someone very late in life, facing the end of their life, pledging to begin again. So not only am I grateful for you teaching our teacher, but I'm grateful for the idea of never stopping beginning again.
Sojourn Mel Weissman Roshi, it's an honor to be in the footsteps that you had left behind. The imprint is magnificent, and I'm grateful. I really kind of only know you from the party. And so I saw you that way. And I kept looking at you in a way that I was kind of wondering if you're somehow different than the rest of us, like, but you were so human. And it really was like, yes, your presence was special, and yet you didn't operate that way. It was really, really wonderful. And I do appreciate the your teachings through Mary. I think you did a good job. You did a good job. Thank you very much.
Zach? So, Jen, I didn't know you. I didn't have a relationship with you. But I think of you almost every day. I've heard you lectured here once. I met you at the party. And I've watched your lectures online. But the thing that remains with me is something you taught Mary. It has to do with posture when sitting zazen and raising your breastbone. And as someone, I remind myself to sit up and I think of you. And it's a wonderful practical lesson that helps my practice. Thank you.
Bailey has been hardly eaten by somebody who needed it, I think. Perfectly important. So, Jen, thank you. And this kotsu that you gave me, that you made probably from the drone or manzanita at Tassajara, it's perfectly imperfect. It's got a little twist to it. It's not perfectly straight. And it's got a hole in it. And if I look carefully, okay. Well, it doesn't go all the way through, but it's got a crack in it. And I love it. And it keeps you close. And I love you. So, Lisa, I'm so sorry.
Sochin, I also never met you in the flesh, but I feel that I do know you a little bit through Mary and all the stories I've heard. And I feel very touched by the way that you've touched everyone here. So it leaves me with a kind of longing that I wish I had known you in real life.
I am sorry, Lisa. I was so concerned about being last and not knowing what I was going to say. When I got my Roxu, some of the ceremony, and I think that there were a bunch of people, you know, so when it's your turn, you approached this, you know, the low altar that he was sitting at. And you're supposed to do a standing bow and then kneel down. And I approached him and I just plunked down. You know, it's not exactly let's get this over with, but some anxiety, but let's do it. And so anyway, I apologize. And I think that's everybody. So we should close with the closing chant.
These are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.